No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Rockies Insider with me, Patrick Lyons, your Rockies Insider, talking about the Colorado Rockies, the spring breakout roster, the strong play in general for Colorado so far this spring, a bunch of guys that are injured. All right, so the Rockies, first team to 10 wins. Right now in spring training, Cactus League, Grapefruit League, first team to 10 wins, no game on Thursday. So you're probably listening to this, maybe catching up just a little bit, but no game on Thursday, 10-3 record towards the top of the table. They're playing really well. A plus 33 run differential, which is second in all of MLB right now, would actually be the number one best run differential if the Cubs hadn't won 16-1 over the Padres on Tuesday in a split squad game where San Diego's number three hitter in the lineup was Connor Joe. Everybody stayed home, just to kind of give you somewhat of an idea. On the pitching side of things, knuckleballer Matt Waldron started. He was okay, got hit around a little bit, but it wasn't that bad. The rest of the guys that came out to pitch for the Padres at Sloan Park in Mesa, I hadn't recognized anyone. There's one guy whose name I did recognize, Stephen Jones, former Rockies prospect. Unfortunately, he gave up 6 runs to the Cubs, 4 earned. But the Rockies have been really solid. And, you know, they only gained 1 run on the run differential chart on Wednesday during a 4-3 win over the Padres, a Padres team in Peoria, because that's their home. So they don't have to travel. So you're going to get a lot of the top players. Once you get later on into spring training, the big guys will end up traveling. But Antonio Senzatela looked really solid through 3 scoreless innings against San Diego, a roster that is somewhat similar to what the Padres will roll out on opening day. The only big names missing were Manny Machado and Jackson Merrill. Otherwise, you know, you got the typical cast of characters for the Friars. And Antonio Senzatela, who, sure, he's only made 5 starts over the last 2 years because of that Tommy John surgery. He still has a perfect 0.00 ERA in 8 innings pitched with 5 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 2 hits allowed. Rockies are just playing well on both sides of the ball. Team ERA sub 4 in the top 5 in all of Major League Baseball right now. So, again, some of those are the minor league guys playing against minor league guys. But in general, everyone's playing really solidly. Rockies are 6-0 when they're the home team at Salt River Field, 4-3 on the road. They've won 4 straight. Their next game is going to be Friday night against the Rangers. It's going to be on KOA Radio, 6:40 p.m. our time, Mountain Time. Sunday is when the clocks change, and now we get Mountain Daylight Time. We're not actually in Mountain Daylight Time yet. I saw somebody post a podcast or something that they were doing something live over on YouTube and they did MDT. Come on, we got to know the difference. Educate yourself. It's not daylight time yet. It's just Mountain Standard Time. It's still standard. Everybody in this section, in this time zone, is operating under the same clock. It's not until, you know, Sunday that we got to deal with that. But Friday night's game, the first night game for the Rockies in spring training, is crazy. Chase Dolander on the mound. That's got to get you somewhat hyped, right? See if he can build on his first 2 starts against the Giants and Diamondbacks. His first start against future Hall of Famer Justin Verlander. Second start against arguably Diamondbacks' ace. I know they just picked up Corbin Burns, but before that, Zach Gallen has been their ace, and now he faces off against, I don't know if I can call this guy a future Hall of Famer, but back-to-back Cy Young Awards. He's paid like a future Hall of Famer. Jacob DeGrom. Dollander v. DeGrom. A player who has very much been compared to Chase Dolander. Dolander himself, in the conversation I had last month with him and Aaron from Blake Street Banner, talking about players that he's, you know, modeled his game after and guys that he gets compared to a lot. Jacob DeGrom is one of those guys, and they will face off on Friday. That's pretty darn exciting, if you ask me. That's really, really interesting. Let's get to the spring breakout rosters. They were revealed on Thursday. Now, the spring breakout, it's over 4 days. They started it last year. Genius idea to highlight young prospects for all 30 of MLB teams. I actually went to sort of a precursor to a spring breakout game. I don't know if it was the first of its type or not. But I don't even know where I learned about this, but I caught wind in 2015 down in spring training. I was there as a fan with my dad. And after the Cubs game at Sloan Park, they had another game, a night game, where it was Cubs prospects against Rangers prospects. Kyle Schwarber was still a catcher at that point. There wasn't a ton of, you know, fans in the ballpark. They didn't advertise it well. I still don't know how I knew about it, but I knew about it. And I think they even charged to get in. But it was a lot of scouts, and in Carl Edwards Jr., I remember pitching. There were a lot of big name prospects. Rangers and Cubs were both pretty loaded at that time. And it was a cool little event. I didn't know who half the guys were. I think they did have sheets of paper that printed out, either that or I got it from a scout somewhere. So that was a precursor. I thought, man, this is a great idea. I was geeked up about it. I would have assumed other fans, other people would have been geeked up as well. Finally, Major League Baseball got their act together, and now they've got spring breakout, top prospects against top prospects, an exhibition during the exhibition season. Rockies, they've got their game on March 16th against the Chicago White Sox. And it's going to be, as I said, on the 16th, 3:05 Mountain Daylight Time. You're going to see on some schedules, it'll say 2:05. That's the Arizona time. That's the Mountain Standard Time, right? We're doing daylight savings, so that's going to be a little bit different. But 24 of the Rockies' top 30 prospects on MLB Pipeline's top 30, which I'm going to have to break down here very soon because their list, very interesting, dropping a few names off the list, bringing on some new names since the end of last season. But their top 30 list, there's 24 of the Rockies' top 30 that are going to be on this roster. Charlie Condon will be playing in his first spring breakout, the number 3 overall pick out of the University of Georgia. He is now in camp, got a chance to I think he had some at-bats, some live BP against Kyle Freeland. Brody Breck out of the University of Iowa, catcher Cole Messina, outfielder first baseman Jared Thomas, the top 4 picks of the Rockies last year in the 2024 MLB draft, will all be playing in their first spring breakout. Also, outfielder Robert Colas, who is a stud. This guy is a player that I think he might be in someone's top 100 ranking out there. And when I say he's in somebody's top 100 prospect ranking, no doubt. But if you're looking at the best of the best, the true prospect pundits who get paid, who are professional, who go to all 30 teams, who compare notes with scouts, and they talk with people within the organization in a front office, and they also talk with those front office members about players on other teams, the professionals that do it and that are not biased, those guys, I think Robert Kalash might be in somebody's top 100 list. And if he's not, he is going to be in most of them, I believe, by midseason. He is a quick riser, the 19-year-old outfielder. Also, infielder Ashley Andujar is going to be in spring breakout for the first time. And a guy I'm excited to see pitch, lefty Wellington Herrera. He's a reliever, but man, oh man, he is a guy that has been really climbing up the Rockies internal farm system rankings. He's been very electric. So the roster, really solid all around for the Rockies. You might be disappointed to know that there are going to be a few of the top 30 prospects that won't be in this game. And the ones that are not included are the ones that are ultimately battling for a roster spot on the Rockies opening day roster, right? Seth Halverson and Luis Peralta, who I don't know how much battling they're doing because I think they pretty much are going to be locks for that opening day game down in Tampa on March 28th. But those are two guys that you'd like to see as a top 30 prospect. But if you're going to the regular exhibition spring training games, you'll see them. Yankiel Fernandez and Zach Veen, also, they're battling for a spot. They're probably on the outside looking in right now, but should somebody go down and get injured? Look, I think the Rockies do want to give one of those young players an opportunity at regular starts in the majors. Those are four guys right there. Sean Sullivan, we know, is behind schedule just a little bit because of that hip surgery, the right hip surgery that he had during the offseason. Eugenier Herrera, one of the players that the Rockies acquired in the Nick Mears deal from Milwaukee, he had Tommy John surgery over the offseason. So he, of course, is also out. So that's your six guys. And so that is one of the most loaded spring breakout rosters across all of MLB. I think MLB Pipeline did something where, you know, they did like a point ranking thing where if you send your number one prospect, that's worth 30 points. If you send your number 30 prospect, that's only worth 1 point. But if you add all of the players that are going to be participating in this game on March 16th for Colorado, Rockies had the fifth most points out of any team in Major League Baseball. So they're sending the big dogs there. Chase Dolander is going to be there. Hopefully Carson Palmquist will be healthy enough to play. Jordy Vargas, a player who is very much a sleeper. I think a lot more people are noticing him, but the Tommy John surgery that he had in 2023 kind of derailed that rise to prominence, but he is certainly a player worth keeping your eye on. Zach Agnos will also be there. Jack Mahoney, that'll be his first spring breakout. Drew Romo is going to be there. Maybe that gives you an indicator that he's on the outside looking in on the big league roster. Certainly that could change. Kyle Karros is going to be back again. He did play last year. Andy Perez, a guy that I like a lot, is somewhat of an undervalued prospect in the system, will all be participating in the 2025 spring breakout. So a pretty interesting roster all around in general. Pretty exciting time. Some news around the league. We're talking about former Rockies. I think I saw Yency Almonte signed with somebody. I probably shouldn't have brought him up. I did. Who did Yency Almonte sign with? Was it with the Cubs? It was a minor league deal. He was with them last year, went over in a trade from the Los Angeles Dodgers. But yes, he is going back to the Cubs on a minor league deal. But former shortstop Jose Iglesias, who was the last shortstop before Ezequiel Tovar took over the reins? Who passed that torch? Who passed the baton to Tovar? It was Jose Iglesias, who was, you know, sneaky good in 2022 for the Rockies. He signs a minor league deal with the Padres that, should he make the roster, is going to be worth $3 million for him with $1 million in incentives. He could be in a long line for playing time in that infield, but I have an inkling that this could be somewhat of insurance for AJ Preller, because right now you got Xander Bogaerts as your shortstop and Ezequiel Tovar. Look, he can pick it. He can make the everyday plays, but I think he's essentially just a league average defender at shortstop still. Played a lot of second base last year with the Mets, who, despite the fact to the injury to Nick Madrigal, they decided, no, we are not going back to OMG. We're not doing that thing. So he signs this minor league deal, and I think this could allow the Padres a much easier opportunity to trade or feel more comfortable trading Luis Arraez. Now he's your first base DH type. If you can deal him, you're going to free up the DH spot for whoever needs a day off their feet. It's going to allow you to move Jake Cronenworth back over to first base from second base. Bogaerts can move from shortstop to second base if you add Jose Iglesias as onto the big league roster and you start him as your shortstop. So I think that would make a lot of sense for San Diego. That would be how I see it going forward. But you first have to make that trade and get rid of Luis Arraez off that roster. Jose Quintana signs a 1-year deal with Milwaukee. Great pickup. I really thought he might go back to the Mets. I know a lot of Mets fans. My cousin Jordan, really wanted Quintana back. Q, as he and a lot of Mets fans call him. Wanted him back. Didn't happen. He signs a one-year deal with Milwaukee. Shrewd pickup by President of Baseball Operations Matt Arnold there, especially as DL Hall's now on the 60-day IL. He might not be back until late May, the earliest. Aaron Ashby out with an oblique strain, so they're starting pitching depth, getting challenged. And a lot of teams right now, this is that time of year where teams are getting challenged, their depth, because of injuries. I mean, the Rockies right now are doing okay in terms of that. You do have the Jeff Criswell lost to Tommy John surgery for all of 2025. You do have Austin Gomber being scratched from his start on Sunday with some shoulder issues. Not that serious, but still. Carson Palmquist, he's got something going on. He's going to be on the backfields. I think he ended up pitching on Wednesday, throwing some live BP there, so we should see him in more in-game action going forward. He might be behind schedule a little bit. Sean Sullivan behind schedule just a little bit, but those latter two guys are not players that the Rockies are really counting on right now in late March to break camp with the team on opening day roster. Taylor in the chat, you just called Tovar average defensively instead of Iglesias. Thank you for that correction. That's huge. No. Tovar, reigning Gold Glove Award winner in shortstop for the National League. The youngest NL shortstop to ever win. No, Iglesias, the guy I was talking about, he's the guy that's league average, which is probably an upgrade over Xander Bogaerts. No, I know it is. It is an upgrade over Xander Bogaerts. So, Taylor, thank you. You get a comment of the day. I loved Brad's question earlier, but that was clutch. Everybody banged up right now. And I'm going to try to touch on as many guys as possible, not some of the fringier players, but there's still probably a couple big name guys that I might miss. Will Smith of the Dodgers banged up. He's been dealing with some bone bruise on his left ankle for about 9 months now. He was dealing with it in June of last year during a Yankees series, June 8th. And from that point on, if you look, Will Smith, fine. Hey, they won the World Series. They're okay. But you look at his numbers after that injury on June 8th against the Yankees, his batting average dropped 80 points. His on-base percentage dropped 60, and his slugging dropped 116 points. So that's a nearly 200-point drop in his OPS. Again, he's providing great defense behind the dish. He knows that staff really well. Still probably a big difference between what he provides offensively than your backup Austin Barnes. But maybe that's where you give an opportunity to someone like a Dalton Rushing. Nevertheless, it'll be interesting to see how they approach this. This is going to be a long season. You know, one of the reasons why I think the Dodgers and other teams are doing this too, but one of the reasons why the Dodgers have stacked their depth like to such an insane quality, right? It's a super team, is because they know guys are going to get hurt and they're investing in their team. They want to win a championship and they feel that the best way, not just their way, because believe me, we know about certain owners who say that they want to win, but they want to win their way, despite the fact that their way has never really worked. But the Dodgers, they're saying the best way to go about winning, well, it helps when you have a lot of money, but the best way to go about winning isn't just throwing it around to a couple star players. No, you need more than that, because one of those star players might go down to injury. They've got three MVPs. They lost Mookie Betts for a while last year, and they nearly lost Freddie Freeman, who just played through his issues. That worked out well for them. But nevertheless, somebody's going to go down to injury. So who are you going to have step up? You know what? We'll pay a premium for the guy coming off the bench or stashed in AAA at Oklahoma City to be that good and that talented. That is the market inefficiency that they're finding, is that, you know what? Guys don't mind riding the bench if you pay them well. And you know what? Odds are someone's going to get hurt and you will then get injected into that starting lineup. So let's go ahead and have a lot of that depth. So we'll see how the Dodgers play it with Will Smith, if they'll give him a little bit of a break early to get better. But if he had the entire offseason and this bone bruise is still that serious, he may just have to deal with it for the entirety of the season until it, you know, unfortunately, maybe comes to a head In Arizona, Blaze Alexander is going to miss a few weeks with an oblique strain. A lot of guys going down right now with oblique strains. Could see a green light for Garrett Hampson, former Rocky Garrett Hampson, who signed a minor league deal. A guy who I know the folks down in AAA Reno, where Garrett Hampson is from, it's almost bittersweet, right? You want to see him play some games in Reno again, as he's had in the past when he was with the Albuquerque Isotopes in AAA. Or he makes the opening day roster and he helps out the big league club. We'll see what happens. You know, Greg Kessinger is already on the 40-man roster. He's a utility infielder. And, you know, frankly, the Diamondbacks outfield is stacked, so they might need a straight-up true infielder rather than a super utility player like a Garrett Hampson. Because if you go from left to right in the Diamondbacks outfield, you got Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Jake McCarthy, Corbin Carroll from left to right. And right now, you might even have Pavin Smith penciled in as your DH, who can play some outfield, who can also play a little bit of first base. Not going to happen a ton with Josh Naylor there. But then on the bench right now, you've got Randall Grichuk and Alec Thomas. So again, the Diamondbacks, I think, want probably more of a true middle infielder that can play around the dirt. Is Garrett Hampson going to be that guy? We'll have to wait and find out. Cubs are ruling Javier Assad out on opening day due to oblique soreness. I touched on this earlier in the week. You know, they still have a lot of really solid pitching depth, so I think they're going to end up being fine. Right now, their number five starter, you might look and say, it's a guy like Jordan Wicks. It's pretty good. Guy that was, you know, a top 100 prospect not that long ago. Colin Ray is also on the staff. Ben Brown, a young prospect. Maybe the prospect shine has come off for him a little bit, but he's been effective. Instance. And then you still have non-roster invites like Chris Flexen and Brad Keller. Might not get you excited, but that is big league depth. And then there's still top pitching prospect Cade Horton. So the Cubs have that depth. The Reds have tons of depth too. And that's going to get tested just a little bit here as Spencer Steer had a cortisone shot in his right shoulder. We'll kind of wait and see what happens with him, but they've got a loaded infield. Steer can play a little bit of outfield as well. Terry Francona, I think, is really going to coach that club up in a big way. And I think the Reds are going to be a sleeper team in 2025. As I mentioned, Nick Madrigal is going to be out for all of 2025 with the Mets, signed that one-year deal. So that's just not going to happen for him. Staying in New York, the Yankees, a lot of issues. Giancarlo Stanton is going to begin the year on the IL with recurring elbow issues. He got some PRP injections in both elbows and frankly is not going to be ready to go here in about 3 weeks. It's one of the reasons why the Yankees have actually reached out to DH JD Martinez, who was good last year. You know, might not have been $12 million good. Was only about a half a win above replacement. But 106 OPS plus for the Mets in 120 games, 16 home runs, 69 RBI. You're paying a premium, but that's a guy you know that's got the hit tool. Righty Luis Gil, who was in the top three in Rookie of the Year award voting last year, is going to be shut down for the next 6 weeks with a lat strain. Actually, I think he was the Rookie of the Year. What am I saying? It's a high-grade lat strain, so even when he's declared healthy, he's going to miss a lot of time. There was, I believe, an update recently that he's going to be, you know, at least out until June. So not good for him. And then DJ LeMahieu, friend of the Rockies, of course, he's got himself a calf strain. No word on if it's grade one, grade two, but he is going to miss a lot of time here, at least in spring training. Maybe not a lot, but enough. In Detroit, Parker Meadows, outfielder, has got nerve issue in his right arm. He's a wait and see to figure out whether or not he's going to be good to go on opening day on March 27th for the Tigers. Oblique strains in the AL West. Christian Walker now, member of the Houston Astros. He's got the oblique strain. The other piece of news coming out of Houston is that Jose Altuve will be an outfielder this year. In left field, I think he'll be okay in left field. The Astros have hidden Jordan Alvarez in left field in the past because of the Crawford boxes. So not the same situation as the Green Monster in left, where you don't have a lot of territory to cover. You got to deal with those deflections off the wall, but no matter who's out there in left, you have to deal with the different textures that are out there in a situation like that. But it's less general surface area to cover on the ground for Altuve, so he'll be okay there. That probably gives a green light for Brendan Rodgers to make that major league roster for Houston this season. A Adolis Garcia, mild strain of his left oblique for the Texas Rangers. And then with the Orioles, Gunnar Henderson, intercostal strain, hoping to be ready for opening day. We'll wait and see. Baltimore was a team that, you know, I didn't officially give out any offseason grades, but the Orioles, you know, I kind of, you know, grading them on a harsher curve, because they are a team that, despite making the postseason the last 2 years, have not won a postseason game with this current group. And they needed to go out and do something big to move the needle, not shrewd moves, but to do something big to elevate the team to not just a perennial postseason wildcard contender. I know that they won the AL East in 2023, but they need to get over that hump and win some playoff games. And they didn't do what they needed to do. So I haven't decided yet. I haven't made my 2025 predictions yet to say, are the Orioles going to be on the outside looking in when it comes to the postseason? Right now, I'd probably say probably not. But if Henderson ends up missing more time and there's a few more injuries that, you know, could impact the Orioles starters, right? Not just their depth. They've got, you know, decent depth there still. But that pool of prospects is slowly running out for them. It is not slowly, it's quickly running out, I should say. So they do have to be a little bit cautious, obviously, with a franchise cornerstone like a Gunnar Henderson. But still, their clock is ticking. That's the thing, is that these guys don't say, not only do they not stay young forever, which we know, they will be younger a lot longer than they will be affordable. Because when you've got young players, once they reach arbitration, after 3 years of service time, and some players get it after 2+ years because they're close to three. Ryan Feltner is one of those guys where you look and you say, he's basically been in the majors for 3 years, but no, he doesn't have 3 years of service time. He has close to 3 years of service time. So he's going to go through arbitration 4 times. Once you start going through arbitration, your price starts going up and up and up. Look at Juan Soto last year, $30 million, not as a free agent, but through arbitration. So once those first 3 years are up, guys no longer become cheap. Maybe even some all-stars in year two of arbitration, so, you know, 2 years away from free agency, are still affordable, underpriced. By the third year, maybe they're underpriced a little bit, but you're not saving tens of millions of dollars. You paid Gunnar Henderson league minimum the last 2 years, and you got 2 all-star seasons essentially out of him. Something that on the open market in free agency is costing at least $40 million. And you paid $1.5 million for that. So you've saved a surplus of $38.5 million. It's one of the reasons why teams for a while were tanking. It was because they were getting a lot of value out of these young players. And where do you get the best young players? Early on in the draft. It's also one of the reasons why teams try to time up their window of contention so that you can have young players who are contributing, making the league minimum, and a lot of other really good players, more veteran players, or even guys that are in their fourth and fifth year together on the same team at the same time. And then if you got to pay a little bit of an overage for a free agent out there, you know, a premium price for a final piece that's really big and valuable, it becomes easy because you're paying 2 or 3 all-stars or borderline all-stars league minimum. It's one of the reasons why, going back to 2017 and 18, the Rockies were able to pay somewhat of a premium for a guy like Gerardo Parra. Didn't break the bank, but you look at what he was able to produce and you say, was it worth that in free agency? Maybe not. $70 million for Ian Desmond? Probably not. $100 plus million for the Super Bullpen? Probably not. And those deals might not have aged well, but at that time, those guys provided value. It doesn't matter how much you are paying a player when you go to the postseason. And when the Rockies went to the postseason in 2018, the salaries of the players don't matter. It's who do you have on your roster to possibly bring home a World Series. That's what it is about. It doesn't matter how much your highest paid player is getting and your lowest paid player. How much service time does this guy have? How much service time does this guy not have? That doesn't matter. You want to assemble the best possible team. And the way you can do that for a club that can't afford to just throw money around like the Los Angeles Dodgers is you've got to get the timing right. You've got to get the timing right. Time those young impact players coming up in their first 3-4 years and time up guys who've already been there for a while, the veteran players, and then some big time moves, either in trades or in free agency. You have to make those moves. I said it time and time again. You take the best players in Rockies history, draw up your greatest fantasy team for the Colorado Rockies. Sure, the starting rotation, the bullpen, look, some of those guys had questionable years. And anybody on the outside looking in is going to look at their rotation and bullpen and go, this is not very good. But you know as a Rockies fan that it's very good. And then you look at the lineup and you go, are you kidding? You know, Carlos Gonzalez is on the bench? Yeah. Vinny Castilla is coming off your bench? Yeah, and Nolan Arenado's at third base. Like, what are you going to do? But if you take the greatest players in Rockies history and you played them together for 2-3 years, because again, you want as many bites at the apple as possible, you're going to win a World Series, at least one. Why do I say this? It's because all of those great players that you drew up and the greatest Rockies players of all time on one singular team, I bring it up because they weren't all on the same team at the same time. They weren't. I'm not saying that as a way of hammering home the point, oh, the Rockies have totally screwed this whole thing up. They should have been all together at the same time. No, that's impossible. The point is, it's about timing. It's not about, man, we had this great player. We had this Hall of Famer for these 6-7 years. And then he left, and then another guy came in for 7 years. And then he left, and then another guy came in for 7 years. That's great. But what if you had all three of those guys at the exact same time? Or what if you had three Hall of Fame type players? It's managing your assets. That's what it's about. Getting all of the guys to come up and do the damn thing at the same time. That's what's hard. That's what great GMs can do. Sometimes it can mortgage your future. Dave Dombrowski has that reputation. And the Phillies, look, they're going to have to blow this thing up eventually. They might have 2 more years left. I don't know. But eventually you might have to, you know, blow things up because you've now used a lot of future assets. I mean, look at San Diego. Sure, you can be critical of them for that exact reason. You look at their farm system and say, oh man, it's gotten kind of barren. They still got some big names there and Ethan Salas and Leo DeVries. But ultimately you're saying you've traded away a lot of guys. It was to make your big league team that much better. And you look and you see what they've been able to do in the regular season and how frequently they've been able to go to the postseason, a lot more than they have ever in their history. And you say, I guess it was worth it. That bite at the apple. Postseason now is a lot much more of a crapshoot than it was 30 years ago before the advent of the wild card, before we really had division series. And it was just, if you're one of the best teams, boom, you get in. All you got to do is win 4 to 7 games. But even still, it's this idea that you've got to get all of the best assets together at the same time. And sometimes that means mortgaging your future. That means trading prospects so that you can have guys that can actually impact your team when it's necessary, when it's needed. And sometimes it means recognizing that we don't have enough assets at the big league level. We need to get rid of those assets that have value because they don't really have any value to us because we're bad. So we might as well get something for them. So now we increase the likelihood of that window being timed up. The good teams can do that. The bad teams can't. Y'all are good for sticking around. I appreciate this one. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. We're getting closer to the regular season. I've already started doing a lot more TikToks and just videos, YouTube shorts, at Rockies_insider in a lot of different places. If you're on the podcast side of things, make sure you leave a review. This is a big time of the year for people who either want to get into the Rockies or are curious about what the Rockies have going forward in 2025. So they want to learn a little bit, right? You can actually help others out there learn a lot more about the Rockies by leaving a review. 5 stars, leaving a comment. Comments go even that much further than just a review or a thumbs up. Appreciate you in the chat. Hey, thank you. I appreciate your correction there earlier. But that's, you can do those things. That helps me out really in a major way. So thank you for joining me. Thanks for stopping by, giving me this momentum. But of course, as I like to say, and nobody else likes to say it, I don't know why. Do they not like to have a good show going forward? But as I like to say, momentum, it's only as good as your next day's show. So of course, I'll talk to you then.